Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lenzing conference call on the half-year results 2015. My name is Stefan Dobotsky. I'm the new CEO of the group, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome you on my first call for the group, and equally looking forward to meeting you in person on some of the subsequent roadshows or on our Capital Market Day on November 17. With me here, next to me, sitting our CFO, Thomas Riegler, with whom you're very familiar with, as well as with Robert, our Chief Commercial Officer, and Stephanie, our Head of Investor Relations. Before I go into the gist of it and go into the results, let me briefly introduce myself. It's the first time that we have the chance to interact. I'm now with the company 2.5 months. Before that, I worked with DSM. I think most of you are familiar with the Dutch multinational in the chemical sector. I worked there for 17 years, 10 years of that in Asia. I lived more than 5 years in China and in Southeast Asia thereafter. I'm responsible in the board for global operations, pharma, and the whole region of Asia. And it is, you know, it's a real pleasure and privilege for me to have been entrusted to lead Lenzing starting with in June. Good. Having said that, let's go now into the results. If I would summarize first half of 2015, I would say very solid performance, particularly Q2. We were quite pleased with the progress the group made. If I look at top line, we have grown top line by more than 6% for the first half with 955 million. Major drivers of top line growth were, number one, foreign exchange effects. We clearly benefited from the weaker euro, but also that volumes have been slightly up and our product mix continues to help us. EBITDA up by more than a third compared to the same period of last year at 126 million, bring our EBITDA margin to, you know, north of 13%. Again, foreign exchange helped, but equally we see the progress that we made on our excellent initiative really supporting our earnings profile, and we are well on track to reach the 160 million effect as per 2016 and for the full year. If we then go to progress on the strategic side, we made further progress on our portfolio realignment. We did come out with a press release end of April with the sale of our Dolan activities and the European carbon fiber, as well as then towards the end of the quarter with three smaller divestitures in the area of our Lenzing Technic area, specifically mechatronics automation and sheet metal. Honing in now more into the second quarter to give you some flavor there, what we did see is over the quarter that viscose prices continue to trend upward. Major driver of that, I will come later on in my elucidations, have been some of the capacities in China that were taken temporarily out of operation. So quarter on quarter, we did see average viscose market prices go up by more than 8%. Compared to the same period of last year by almost 4%. Again, let's not forget also if you look at those charts, the prices, they always include the Chinese VAT. Dissolved wood pulp, our most important raw material, we also saw there on a quarter-by-quarter development some trend upward if you look at the imported dissolved wood pulp prices, up by close to 2% versus quarter one, and slightly lower compared to the period of the same year. Revenue for the quarter, even higher growth, up, so we are at more than 7% growth, similar effects that I already indicated before. All in all, EBITDA and earnings profile in the second quarter, another step up with this first quarter. You remember we had around 60 million in the first quarter, now at 67. All in all, I would say solid set of numbers. Now, given that, and Thomas will go there into more detail, that we were also quite disciplined on other elements that impact our free cash flow, we were successful in reducing net debt further to somewhere in the 400 million range, which we perceive as a very good accomplishment. If you go to the next page and look a little bit at the wider market environment, it is a very non-uniform picture, if I would put it that way. Cotton, we did see some positive signs of, you know, slight price increases, but frankly, over the last period, we have seen cotton hovering around the 70-ish yardstick at the moment, you know, slightly higher than that. Viscose, we will go again in more detail, but I already gave some glimpse. Now, what is putting pressure on the system again is that polyester prices that are more linked to crude oil have not continued to follow the positive trend that we spoke about in the first quarter of the year, but actually made a reversal, and we are now actually at one of the biggest price deltas between viscose and polyester that we have seen for a long time. And again, that makes us a little bit cautious looking forward into the system. More specifically on cotton, as you know, one of the more important benchmarks materials in our total interfiber substitution game that we sometimes are exposed to, we do see two trends. Number one is production of cotton for a long time. We expect in this season going forward for the first time to be lower than the period before. We see both in China as well as in the U.S. At the same time, the Chinese government has announced that it will reduce its inventories. Remember, China has a stock-to-use ratio of 154, which is almost triple to what we see in the rest of the world. And so despite actually having production for the first time for a long period being lower than assumed consumption, we actually expect that, you know, inventory reductions by the Chinese government will not give big relief to cotton prices. Now, if you go to the next page and look at our competitive viscose environment, I already gave you the headlines before. We are at the moment, you know, benefiting from a somewhat more tight supply-demand balance because in China we have seen quite some capacity being taken out of the system due to environmental pressure that the Chinese government is putting on the industry at large. And that is something that we have seen being a helpful support for price. We have seen also towards the end of the quarter, again, a small uplift of prices that I think is positive. How sustainable it is, that is something that is on another page. And on dissolved wood pulp prices, I gave you the, I think, the key elements already. So all in all, I would say from an overall perspective, good first half. Thomas will later on go into more detail on the figures. Now I would like to ask Robert to give us a quick snapshot on some of the marketing activities and business trends.
Thank you very much, Stefan, and welcome to everybody. In these turbulent times, Lenzing really has a unique position because we're the only man-made cellulosic fiber that really has the differentiation of a recognized brand at a retail level. This is one of the key areas we continue to focus on. After the successful startup of the new tensile plant in Lenzing last year, we continue to focus on our denim business. We reported that this was our first success after the startup. Meanwhile, we've seen more than doubling the amount of denim fabrics that the leading players in the industry are using Tencel for. The Micro A100 is a new launch of a special Tencel version that is really designed for synthetic blends, like blends with polyester, also blends with wool and silk for knits. It is well established for its high share and the depth of color it has, and the fact that the Micro is a much thinner fiber, it allows us to have thinner fabrics that are more comfortable and are significantly suitable for new applications that are closer to the body. Building on the success of our bed and bath products in China, we are now transporting this technology to Turkey, where one of the biggest home textile retailers is adapting TENCEL in more than 3,000 shops throughout the country, and we're seeing significant opportunities there. TENCEL also is a unique fiber with special moisture management that is a natural protection against mites. It's also extremely good for the sensitive skin, and this has been recognized in Germany for bed sheets in hospital applications. Although this is a specific German certification, we've seen a lot of interest from other parts of the world for this certification. On the non-woven side, after the success of the facial mask in Japan, we've now seen a significant trend of this in China. China, where skin sensitivity is very critical, the TENCEL skin product is being well adopted, and we are seeing also good potential for further growth there. Flushable wipes that are being easily dispersed in water if it's being disposed of, has been well established in the US, is emerging in Europe, but right now we're seeing also there, with the focus in China on sustainability, the introduction of TENCEL for flushable wipes. In the technical textiles area, we really started our focus there last year. We launched a botanic shoe concept. It's a new innovation that we are driving to have multiple end users inside the shoe, like the liners, like the top layer, as well as the shoelaces with TENCEL. Technical applications, technical components like powder, TENCEL powder for engineering plastics, but also more other technical end users driven by the special moisture management, temperature resistance, and the TENCEL strengths of TENCEL is being developed for various new applications. And also, its well-established lensing FR business has been completely redesigned, and a new concept has just been introduced, focusing more on comfort while maintaining our safety protection factor. The brand cooperation with leading brands such as Gap for denim, Aldi in Europe, Lidl in Europe, Amazon, Hello Kitty, Touch, as I mentioned, Home Textiles, various retailers are increasingly using the TENCEL hang tag on the garments or on its product to really strengthen their product positioning at consumer level. So a lot of activities, significant increase in attention, and herewith I will pass it on to Thomas for further financial details.
Thanks, Robert. Good morning from my side to all as well. I'm really happy to present positive results. I want first to go a little bit into the revenues, where Stefan already mentioned that overall a very good revenue increase, especially if you look on the first half year, we increased by 6.2% the revenue up to 955 million. The main contributor there is the segment Fiber, where we had 7.6% increase, mainly driven by the tailwind of FX, where you all know that the euro went roughly 80-90% weaker to the dollar and the renminbi, slightly volume increase, and a better product mix. The other contributors stayed stable, Lenzing Technik stable revenue, and a little bit less of the other revenues. Leading also us in the quarter two revenue to a significant increase of 7.3%. If we come to the next page and looking at the overall earnings, a very solid performance, and like we tripled our net profit, which was mainly driven by some one effects as well in the financial result and also in terms of the sale of Dolan and ETF, leading us overall to an EBITDA margin of 13.2% and a net profit margin of 5.4%. Next page, I would go a little bit deeper into the operating expenditures, we managed, despite the fact that the strong raw material price increases, mainly caused by an FX effect, but also by real increases of some raw material prices, a salary inflation of more than 3%, and a slight volume increase. In total, with some one-offs in the other expenses, we managed a stable OPEX of roughly 870 million compared to last year, 860. So you see our excellence program paid off very well in that case. So the result and the earnings could improve significantly. If we come to the page 13, a quick overview of some financial KPIs. You see a very strong financial position and also balance sheet. Due to the fact that our earnings improved, our equity, adjusted equity, improved. And if you put that in relation to the assets, we increased our equity ratio to roughly 47%, very healthy. On the financial debt, the interest-bearing financial debt, we stayed stable, and since the operative cash flow and the free cash flow improved significantly, our net debt position was also improved by roughly 50 million, coming to a net debt of 402. The total liquidity cushion, as said, was mainly impacted by the good free cash flow. And in addition, with our open credit facilities, we have a liquidity cushion in total of 540 million. The cash flow as such, as already mentioned, strong free cash flow. The gross cash flow increased by roughly 80%, but it's also including a cash inflow from a special distribution on an investment accounted at the equity method. The operating cash flow stayed roughly stable, but to be honest, our trade working capital increased, where we are working on that, mainly caused by increase of trade receivables, but also decline of trade payables. The cash flow from the investment activities decreased by roughly 80%, comprises of a CapEx of 26 million, a cash capex, which is actually lower than what we have planned and expected. So we are catching up there, and the cash inflow from the sales of the subsidiaries, leading us to the improvement of the free cash flow of 120%. On the page 14, in a nutshell, Two main drivers why we reduced the net debt, as already mentioned, the gross cash flow and the sale of Dolan and ACS. The negative effects, we paid a dividend of 27%, which is actually not negative, but influencing the net debt, and the increase of the working capital and the lower capex as planned of 26 million. In this, I would like to give back to Stefan for the outlook of the full year.
Appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks a lot. Now, in the many periods I was working in DSM and looking at outlooks, and this was probably one of the more difficult ones, frankly, because we really see two trends. On the short term, we clearly have better prices and some tailwind from foreign exchange. However, you know, we are operating in an environment that is anything but certain. Now, we just look at what happened yesterday in the whole, you know, China arena. Overall, we clearly are in somewhat, you know, uncertain, you know, waters when it comes to some of the macro indicators in which we are moving. And more specifically, it is currently very difficult to assess for us when some of the capacities in China might, you know, coming back on stream. Now, in that context, we say we remain cautious. We remain cautious for the year. However, we clearly see, you know, that we, you know, will, you know, overachieve versus the results delivered last year. We are further strongly focused to keep our costs well under control, to focus on, you know, pushing through on some of the, you know, pricing areas to make further progress, and are positive that we will continue to reduce our, you know, net financial debt. The guidance that we gave in the quarters before with respect to our net debt ratio over EBITDA being below 2, we confirm that. And in terms of CapEx, to give you an indication, we also confirm that we will be below 100 million euro. We indicated somewhere around 100 million. I think with the current run rate, we believe we will be below that. Medium long term, we are very positive about the industry fundamentals in which we operate. We do see that the man-made cellulosics market will continue to sail well in the overall fiber environment, and I would leave it at that for the time being. Sum it up, good first half year, a lot of good progress in a market that clearly from foreign exchange has helped us. We continue to benefit from that. We will be very diligent ongoingly to focus on costs as well as, you know, on optimizing our free cash flow. And given the uncertainty that we see in the macro environment, but also in the specifics of our industry, we remain somewhat cautious on making too bullish projections for the remainder of the year. With that, I would like to stop. Operator, please, let's go into the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Please notice that the call has to be closed just on time at 10 o'clock. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by 1. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by 2. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by 1 at this time. Please limit yourself to 2 questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. First question comes from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Jen, Stephanie. Actually, just one question from my side. We really appreciate you being here on the call with all the experience in Asia and so on. So what could really go wrong in terms of what we've seen in the Chinese markets over the last couple of days? Isn't it that a further Chinese weakening could maybe erase more capacity? So is there really a risk of capacities coming back at this stage? And what could be the implication on pricing? A lot of the fibers are exported, so export markets not really in such a bad shape. So maybe a bit more color and maybe your personal view of what could be done to just in general stop this downward momentum in the Chinese economy. Thanks.
Appreciate, Matthias. If you look at our, you know, exposure to the Chinese market, you know, we are more than 60% exposed to Asia. Take, you know, roughly a bit less than half of that being in China. And as you know, our industry, quite a substantial part of that is then, again, as yarn, as garment, or as textile re-exported to the world. So even though, you know, China is for us a very important market and strategically very important market, we actually are not overly worried, to be honest, with the current environment. Now, over the 10 years that I have been in Asia, you know, the current, you know, stock market price in China at part would have been a brilliant one. I think we really need to see this a little bit in the context of also what happened over the last year and a half, and there are some bubbles and corrections. Fundamentally, we are looking at the second biggest, you know, economy of the world growing at north of 6%. I think in most other economies, we would be delighted to see that. Now, specifically for our industry, generally, I would say the current environment, also some of the devaluation of the RMB that we saw, it is yet a bit unclear what will be the full impact of our industry. Fundamentally, weak RMB is not good for our industry. It's just not good. Now, how it plays out for each individual player is then very dependent on your local raw material situation and how much exposed to your export. But overall, a weak RMB is not good for our industry. Now, again, put it into context where last year the RMB was versus today. Now, then we are still in very solid territory. And, you know, I think we are currently from the whole global foreign exchange play, you know, if there is any winner, I would say it is, you know, probably lending. Now, the current situation in China, I would not say has intrinsically impact on whether capacity will be added or not. I see this much more related to the environmental pressure that the government puts on the polluters of China. And, you know, over those 10 years being in Asia, there are many polluters in China. And frankly, some of the standards that we see currently being implemented in China are some of the most rigorous ones. And that also, you know, gets some of our peers on maybe the wrong leg. I'm not in a position, based on your last question, what China should do better to change that. Having been for many years in China, you know, I maybe know some stuff, but I'm clearly not in a position to advise the Chinese government. So,
I just wanted to benefit a bit from your expertise, but just coming back on the competition, I mean, some of these guys are non-integrated in terms of pulp, and pulp is quoted in US dollar globally, so don't they get the squeeze from the devaluation of the renminbi? And isn't it maybe also becoming more difficult in terms of financing again? So is there really a deeper meaning in you saying we have to be cautious in terms of what capacity is going to come back? Isn't the likelihood of capacity additions now going down rather than up?
If you look at the jump of and the spread on the local currency between dissolved wood pulp and current spot prices, I think I wouldn't make necessarily this conclusion, because on a spot basis in China today, the viscose prices went further up as a percentage than dissolved wood pulp prices. You're right, some of them are importing, and any devaluation of the RMB, you know, hurts them more. But I think the industry overall is, if I would compare it to Q4 of last year, definitely in a slightly better position than at that moment in time.
Yeah, perfectly fine. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Stephanie. Question I would be interested in looking at, you show how viscose prices and inventory levels have developed until the second quarter, but now until end of August, prices have further increased. Viscose inventories are close to all-time lows. So in that perspective, with your cost savings now fully kicking in, your increasing focus on specialties and sales mix improvements. Could you maybe give us some thoughts on the earnings potential in the second half of the year? We have seen a gradual step up now quarter over quarter. The question is now, what is at the moment a range you think on EBITDA can be generated in the second half of the year as the net debt to EBITDA guidance of below 2, with currently 400 million seems a bit on the conservative side. Can you maybe narrow this range a little bit, and then also if you could elaborate a little bit on the working capital development, particularly here, you mentioned the one-off in the financial result on the one hand of roughly 16 million, and then the special dividend that was paid. If we could get some more color here, where this comes from, and yeah, thank you.
Okay. Stefan, I will depict your one question in the sub questions that I heard. One is on the, can you give me some more color on the outlook? Secondly, how do you look at the pricing front? Like you rightly indicate, is, you know, third quarter we see further up movement. So, you know, how to read that? And then, you know, Thomas will elucidate on, you know, the, you know, is, you know, the debt position or, you know, our balance sheets too conservative, and how we look at the working capital. Let me take on first the outlook question, I will pass on to Robert and later on to Thomas. Now, with the outlook, everything that you have said is correct. Indeed, market prices continue to trend upward, and you might call it overly cautious, I just call it prudent, what we do at the moment, because we had seen in this industry a similar situation, you know, end of 2013, in the second half of 2013, and it is very difficult to read the tea leaves at the moment. Everything that you have said is correct. Indeed, inventories are not bad in the overall chain, and as a consequence, with what I said before in terms of the some of the temporary shutdowns, we see supply and demand being our favor. But let's not forget, polyester is going in the other direction. There is, you know, interfiber substitution going on. And with the overall, you know, situation as we see at the moment also in China, we don't have full transparency how the overall chain will react. That's why we remain cautious exactly as per our outlook. But maybe, Robert, you can give some more color with respect to pricing.
Yeah, thank you. On the pricing side, in the second quarter, we started increasing prices, although we've not seen a significant impact yet as per our presentation. We have several businesses, like the non-woven business and certain specialty business, where we still apply quarterly pricing. And on the spot side area, we've not been able to see the impact of the prices to the extent we had hoped. I'm not happy with that. And that is an area where I really hope to show indeed more results in the third quarter. The specialty business is increasing. We have, as previously announced, successfully introduced the black fiber in LNF. We have seen the first quantities going into the market. It's very, very small, but the first signs are there. So for the third quarter, I'm optimistic on strengthening of our prices in the various areas like non-wovens and specialty products.
Okay. LNF means, in our jargon, means our Chinese facility,
yeah,
of Nanjing. Thomas, maybe you a bit on the debt and the working capital side.
Yeah, let's start, because you had a couple of questions in this context, Stefan, and like always, I'm happy to hear this question and also to answer. The trade working capital, as mentioned, increased. So for sure, we are not happy about that. As you know, and look into it, it's mainly caused by higher receivables, trade receivables, and actually we have paid too quickly also our trade payables. So we are working on that for sure to improve our operating cash flow. The one-timers in which reduced the net debt, where you ask for more details, because I mentioned, and this contributes also to the strong improvement of the gross cash flow, that is definitely, and you called it special dividend of an investment in Germany accounted at equity method, and which is also mentioned in our interim results under the note 7. So I guess this is disclosed more and enough, and you could think about that. And the other main driver why we reduced the net debt, also mentioned, was purely the sale, and also there we disclosed the net cash inflow of exactly 13.8 million of the Dolan and ETF sale. So I hope this answers your question, Stefan.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the net debt development is definitive in the right direction, particularly considering that you also paid the dividend to your shareholders in the second quarter. What I just be interested in is if we only take consensus EBITDA and assume that you are not going to deleverage further, we already end up at net debt to EBITDA of 1.4 for this year. So I mean, why don't you narrow it down a little bit? And it seems to me that, I mean, with the second half of the year expecting a considerable earnings improvement, that the free cash flow should also improve. I mean, could you give us some indication what, if everything plays out perfectly, where year-end net debt to EBITDA could end up?
Stefan, I think that it is, at this moment in time, I don't want to go down further that avenue. Because I think the overall logic that you develop is not a bad logic. Let me say that. What we're currently busy with, Stefan, is we are putting together what are the key elements that we want to take also strategically forward. We speak about this at our Capital Market Day. And one of the things that you should expect there as well is that we will speak about what is our capital allocation priority. So what will we do with the cash that we generate? The one thing I would like to stress and that I see simply as a positive, we as a management will be very cash focused going forward, very cash focused. Already Thomas mentioned that he is not completely happy with working capital. We will continue to have a sharp eye on it. Robert was already discussing, you know, on the pricing front. So that next to our cost focus will be the operational drivers that we will have very, you know, sharp in our mind, and how we actually reinvest and what we will do with the cash that we generate. You know, we will, you know, be a bit more explicit by mid of November.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Next question comes from the line of Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I want to come back with my first question to the China issue. You stated that we can calculate about a 30% share of China sales, but as a big chunk of this is again exported to other markets. Can you share a figure of us if a net share of sales to Chinese end customers is, let's say, less than half of this 30% or not? That's point one. Point two would be if you could please share a current spot viscose price with the audience. And my final question leads to the recent asset sales of Dolan and the other businesses. We know the sales impact from your press releases, but could you tell us also what about the EBITDA and EBIT effect we have to take in mind for 2016 and also the second half of 2015?
Okay, Bernd, appreciate the questions. I will address the China question. Robert will take the spot viscose price as we have it at the moment, and then Thomas will speak about the Dolan asset sale.
Thank
now,
you.
In China, indeed, if you take rough guidance, mm-hmm. 63% of our total sales being Asia, a bit less than half of that going to China. We don't have the ultimate transparency, and I hope you appreciate that, you know, which, you know, exact yarn now goes out. But we work with a figure, you know, of about half that is leaving again the country. So if you do then the high level mass, we somewhere are in the order of magnitude of 15% of our total revenue. So take 150, 200 million ish that stays in China. I think that is, you know, that is something that I think you can and should work with.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. It's a question we were, of course, frequently asked in the last days.
Sure. Now, maybe, Robert, if you can give some indication where spot viscose prices are at that moment based on the index?
At this moment, the spot viscose is at 13,560, a slight increase versus the last 2 days.
Now, Bernd, there's one thing I would like to add there, and this is, please understand that particularly if we look at our non-woven segments, you know, we have a lot of more contract prices, you know, in place with spot, not immediately, you know, relates through. So that is something that you need to bear in mind. Thomas, on Dolan.
On Dolan, so I guess you understood the, Bernd, the specific one-time effect, which is reported mm-hmm. under the operating income, which was actually a contribution of 5.1 million. And you were asking then, what does it mean on a yearly effect? If you look into that other results, actually, there you see the impact, and in the segment report, you see the revenue compared to last quarter and also last year, which changed, and having had a kind between 8-10% margin, this is the EBITDA effect at the end of the day.
Okay, thank you. So 8-10% EBITDA margin.
EBITDA margin, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks a lot.
Next question comes from the line of Wade Napier of Avia Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just two questions from my side here, please. Maybe you can give us some color on what percentage of domestic Chinese viscose production was actually shut down due to environmental issues. And then my second question is that you've highlighted how viscose prices have increased about 8% quarter on quarter, but dissolving wood pulp prices only increased about 1.9% quarter on quarter. What is your outlook for dissolving wood pulp prices going forward, particularly with your long-term contracts up for renegotiation, as I understand it? Thank you.
Let me take both of those questions. With respect to domestic capacity that has been shut down, we don't have the full visibility, frankly, on how much it is precisely. The only thing that we do notice that it did have a noticeable impact on supply and demand. But at the moment, it is particularly because a lot of that is happening in Xinjiang province. We don't have the ultimate visibility at that moment in time. Now, if I look at our outlook for dissolved wood pulp prices, it is a little bit similar to what I mentioned with viscose. Why do I say that? At the moment, the equilibrium between paper pulp and dissolved wood pulp is a very narrow one. It's a very narrow one. And a lot will depend, frankly, on the fortunes, I would say, of the viscose industry. I would see both of them moving, you know, pretty nicely in parallel. And I know that this doesn't help you not tremendously vague because it is vague, but I cannot make it any more precise because that is pretty much the environment we currently look at. Now, concerning our current contract renegotiation, I don't want to go there, you know, in any detail. We are in discussing with, you know, several of our suppliers. That is going on, and once we have something there to announce, we will do so.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of John Klein of Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I've only got one at this point. If I look at slide 18 of your presentation, the top line breakdown, I just want to get a feeling, please, for the quarter-over-quarter development of mix price volume between textile and non-woven, because non-woven revenues are actually flat quarter-over-quarter. So I'm just wondering what led to that. Thank you.
I will give this question to Robert, but there is one thing that I want you to take into consideration up front, as I already mentioned before. Our ability to push through prices in non-woven is different, given also some of the contract situation that we have on textile. So there is, you need to look also in the currency mix into that. But Robert,
yeah, I forgot that in my list. FX obviously also plays a role in that discussion. Yes.
Appreciate of being of help, John. So Robert.
Both textiles and non-woven have seen positive growth. One of the areas that we've seen is definitely a shift in product mix between in nonwovens between viscose and Tencel in the recent time period. But in the second quarter, there again, this trend has stabilized as these qualifications programs that we started last year have now been ended. So we are in qualified program, and that's where we are today. So the textile fiber area, we've had more focus with some of the specialty products, and that's why you see in these numbers driven also by currency and small volume of small product mix impact, a bigger difference than in the nonwoven area. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Yeah, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Franz Hurl of Erste Group. Please go ahead.
good morning. I would be interested in the hedging effect. In the second quarter, we had some 13.9 million negative effect on EBIT and a bit more than that on sales in the first quarter. So what has been the effect on your EBIT and sales in the second quarter from US dollar hedging?
Okay. Franz, I will ask this one my dear CFO to address.
So, in total, just I want to mention, because this always gets out of range, it's a positive FX effect, but for sure, if we would have not hedged, it would be much more positive. So, in a nutshell, 60 million positive effect, but was harmed by the hedging to more or less 10 million.
Okay. On EBIT line, EBIT and EBITDA.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Another question on the sale of Dulan and European carbon fiber. You have been given 8 to 10% EBITDA margins on sales of a bit more than 60 million. So that's roughly 6 million EBITDA. I'm a bit surprised by the selling price. If you subtract the 8.6 million in cash, so that's an enterprise value of 13.8 million, and just about 2.5 times EBITDA. Is there any reason why this seems very cheap to me?
Yeah, I'd like to answer that. You also, because a sales price is not only the result in a current year, but is also the projection of the future and the development of this area. And if you look at an average over the last 5 years, it was only half of what you mentioned in EBITDA. And if you take that then into consideration for the future development, and also knowing that the carbon fiber in the car technology, for example, if you look at BMW, the E3, is not well performing, you also know why we were, let's say, focusing of selling this entity. The second impact is also the raw material development in the chemicals, where we had a huge, in our favor, purchase to a cheap price. And you also know, look back 3 years, it was affected by tripling this cost, and this could immediately lead to a very low EBITDA and EBIT margin. Mm-hmm. That was the two reasons, and strategically, we are sustainable fiber producer, and carbon precursors and polyester is not on our main focus. Mm-hmm.
So I think it were 11.5 million EBIT in 2014, so that's also was an excellent year for...
2014 was very excellent, but we could not push through that in a projection for the next coming 5 years.
What you're saying is that were windfall gains due to the development of raw material prices,
yes,
which enabled this excellent result.
Yes.
Okay. Then very briefly, please, let me confirm a couple of figures. 5.1 million gain included from Dolan in the second quarter, and I read something also about 8 million impairment loss for Lenzing Technik ahead of the sale. This was also fully, of course, in the second quarter, I presume. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's also written in our report.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess a couple million also for the departure of Mr. Untersberger in the second quarter. So that's the main one-offs during the quarter, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it from me. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Sean.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just one follow-up question addressing the Chinese cotton reserve and that there has been an announcement that they are starting to selectively sell some of their cotton inventory. There have been also market talks that question the quality of the cotton the Chinese have stored for years now. What is your view on that? Have you heard similar concerns in the market?
Yes, Stefan, excellent question. Indeed, the Chinese government in July, you know, aimed to get with 1 million tons of cotton on the market. And indeed, some of those concerns were raised. From the knowledge we have, it was not a terrible successful auction. Now, still, I think the government is making it increasingly then difficult, I think, for some of the local buyers with certain restrictions to actually import cotton from elsewhere. So there are mechanisms that they use to overcome that. So this material is around. We have similar intelligence than you just mentioned, that not all of the cotton has, you know, the top quality as some of the imported U.S. or Indian cotton at the moment. How it will play out, now that's something I think we really need to see in 2016-17, particularly how aggressively actually China will start to work down their cotton inventory to levels that are maybe not as low as the rest of the world, but lower than what they have today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Gentlemen, there are no further questions on the phone line. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
Good. I would like then to maybe wrap up the call if there are no further questions. In summary, number one, appreciate you all making the effort of dialing in. Solid first half, you know, somewhat hazy outlook for the remainder. Some of the industry specifics not looking bad at all. However, some of the macro indicators looking, you know, uncertain, in part even troublesome. Looking forward to hopefully seeing all of you on November 17 at the Capital Market Day. There we will go a bit more in depth in terms of strategy discussion, Lenzing, Quo Vadis, where do we go, and looking forward and also to make your personal acquaintance. Thank you very much. Operator, you can close the call.